And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is that you are listening, folks. Thank you very, very much for listening. Today is the 23rd of May, year of our Lord 2023. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bun and Cardigan Show presented by The Athletic. I am, of course, joined by the on again, off again, man who wears the cardigan, James Edwards III of The Athletic. James, happy Gemini season. Okay, go ahead.
Two things. Why don't you ever say good morning, good afternoon, and good night? No matter, because you always, then you say no matter what time of day you're listening, like you just leave good night out.
Nobody listens to this show at night, no way. The sun is always out when people listen to the show.
On it, 100%, there are at least 1,000 people who listen at night.
No.
Stoned. 100%.
That's a crazy number. That's a 1,000 is a crazy number for nighttime. Dude, so many, what I've learned. Is the
people, I think so.
The amount of people that listen to the show that have like adult jobs, like real 9-to-5s, like gritty, the amount of like lawyers and doctors that listen to the show, I've learned this from emails, is crazy. So
yeah, but they also are the ones that work all day and don't get free time till at night, and you know a lawyer and doctor's token up.
Yeah, but they got families. They're probably, you know, eating dinner.
Kids go to sleep. Their wife falls asleep on the couch.
And he's going to listen to podcasts?
Yeah, I'm going to throw on some B and C.
This feels like such a hyper-specific like, not tonight, guy. Honey. You think there's 1,000
not
of
tonight,
this guy.
Not tonight, honey. All right, fine. Let me turn on B and C.
You think there's 1,000 of this guy?
All right, maybe not 1,000. Couple hundred. And then the second thing was, you do the intro. I'm joined again by the on again, off again. You introduce me.
Yeah.
But like nobody, like what if people aren't familiar with you?
I think about that all the time. That we
you
almost
figure that out.
We almost never say my name. So
don't
unless
say we, you do the intro.
No, you don't call me Nick though. You call me like fam, bro. You call me stop all the time.
Hey yo, pause that.
Is that one that crazy? You told me to hop on it like 2 hours ago. So all right,
come on. All right, let's go. Let's get the sun being out has been
are we recording
right
is the show has the show started
this is B and C after dark during the day
yeah in broad daylight at the beginning of the episode no less James lots of stuff going on in Pistons land right now despite it being the off season have you got for us cooking up over at The Athletic this week.
Last week, if you missed it, and we'll go through it on this pod, I proposed 7 trades for the number 5 pick to my coworkers who cover various teams around the league. I'm going to see later on in the show what Nick would do and what he wouldn't do. And then if you're listening to this on Monday morning, well, if you're listening to this on Tuesday or beyond, on Monday morning, I posted what I think the Pistons' top 5 big board looks like as of right now. So you can go check those two things out. And on Wednesday, I will have a top 5 big board for the 31st pick. So, bing, bang, boom.
There's been a lot of, like, sneaky. I think people have been more excited about pick 31 versus pick 5. I've seen a lot of discussion about that. And,
well, duh, it's Pistons fans. You know how obsessed they are with their second-round picks. How dare they trade Jordan Bone?
I've also seen in the last, like, week.
Kyrie Thomas had next.
Oh, my God. What a little shudder I just had hearing that name. I don't know who Amani Bates' agent is. But whoever it is, dude, I don't even want to call it stock because it's not real. But, like, he's skyrocketing, at least in terms of how much his name is being talked about, even in this last week, to a point where now I've seen a few Pistons fans.
You clarified it as much as his name is talked about.
Yeah.
NBA teams watched him play defense in the MAC.
And that he couldn't score.
Well, he could score, just he couldn't get separation against Kent State.
Yeah.
He had the toughest 40s I've ever seen for a elite prospect who played the MAC. But yes, NBA teams also see the other side of the floor. So I think he's a late first, early second just off potential alone. But I had a friend text me and like, well, now that we got number five, we should take Amani at five. And I'm like, all right, this is why I don't talk hoops with my some of my friends.
Yeah.
Some of my friends.
Yeah, it kind of comes with the job, though. It's like, I'm sure maybe we've even talked about this before. You know, you're
there's a lot of things that come with the job that they don't prepare you for. And I'm blessed for some of it.
Yeah.
But like, there's that. There's, can you get me tickets? No, I don't work for the team. And then there's the, and I, first of all, I love all of you. It's really cool. No, I just, I've been getting, like, and I'm not trying to, like, toot my own horn at all. It's just, they don't tell, like, I get recognized in the city so much that it's like, God. No, I'm not
Turn
even
down
trying
the spotlight, to, everybody. Give this guy, give this guy some air.
I'm just trying to say that that's not something, like, I'm, at the end of the day, I'm a sports nerd who writes papers for a living, and it's just, it weirds me out, like, when I go into this place, that place, they're like, are you James Edwards? I'm like, yeah. And I just feel like I always got to, like, I feel like I should always have a suit and tie on and, like,
a cardigan.
I no, but I'm just saying, like, I feel like because of that, I get nervous to, like, go outside, like, as myself.
Yeah.
Because you just never know who knows you, but you don't know. But let's move on.
Well, I do have a just a
shout out to everybody I met in the last few days or saw out at certain establishments.
Yeah.
I really appreciate the support and the love.
As a quick, I actually think this might be interesting. I think you've talked about this before. If you're, you know, getting into Dallas, you're leaving the airport in a Lyft over to the hotel, you know, I'm sure there's sometimes, depending on the driver, is going to be that if you tell them what you do, maybe there's going to be some back and forth and you don't have, you're just like, I don't really want to do this right now. Do you have a go-to fake job?
No, I just say I'm visiting family.
Oh.
Or I'm visiting a friend, yeah.
Yeah, that's good too. James, you know...
Nick.
As the fan representative, we believe on this show that representation is important. And I think that we've talked about this almost ad nauseum at this point. My purpose is to try to mirror what the zeitgeist is saying in Pistons land, right? And try to convey that on behalf of everybody else. And I have a little bit of a spiel here really quick. As it pertains to the coaching search, you know, in the, what, like 3 to 5 weeks that it's been so far, I think I'm kind of getting to a point where I don't care. And I don't mean that I don't care, like, at all. I just mean, if you really think about it, every time there's an update, every time we hear something new, it's always, at least in the eyes of fans, bad, and it just riles people up more. Every update that happens, whether it's, oh, we're interviewing, and I'm going to use Kevin Ollie as a punching bag here. I'm not trying to, but just for all intents and purposes, we've talked about it. People don't want
well,
that.
Well, it's only bad because fans tend to think they know who's a good coach and who's not. So
yeah.
They see these names and they're upset,
yeah.
Which still baffles me throughout this whole coaching process, but go ahead.
But then you also have to factor in things like, dude, even us falling to five, a ping pong ball going the wrong way made things worse because now it's like, oh, we maybe could have had Monty Williams if Mark Tatum didn't hate us. You know what I mean? So even that in and of itself as an update is just bad. And now it's like there's really nothing. And I'm not saying I don't want updates or that you're not going to give them. Like, of course I want to hear them. But it's like I'm not expecting that I'm going to hear something and go like, oh, my God, yeah. I don't know. It's just not
also,
fun.
Also, surprise, there's not always an update. Sometimes there's nothing to update. I don't know if people know that. Sometimes there's nothing to update. You also have to remember that they've been in Chicago all week interviewing prospects, doing the East Coast Midwest Combine. This week they're in LA because the West Coast agencies do combines. They're not just like sitting at home like, scouring their notes like who like there's it's May people the team doesn't even get together until August it'll be okay but yeah
so does that mean I use this as a segue is there an update you got anything for us real quick
I've had a few people ask me like do you think this coaching search is weird that they're having and I'm like I don't think it's weird like I don't think the candidates are weird. Again, Everybody apparently knows who can coach and who can't coach when they've never seen him coach. I don't think the candidates are weird. I'm of the impression, and everybody's like, why not Bud? Why not Spo or Monty? I'm of the impression that I wouldn't be surprised if both of those guys take a year off. Air quotes, I wouldn't be surprised. And I mean, look, Monty isn't a finalist for the Bucks job. You would assume if he wanted to be, he would be.
Yeah.
So there's that. I think the biggest – oh, so update. I know either this week or next week, Ollie, Lee, and Collins are going to meet with Gorus again. I am not sure if anybody else is interviewing. I just know those three will meet again. And I guess – I don't know. We can get into it. If you're good at reading the tea leaves, things could get weird, I guess. I'll say that. I think I've reported it. Others, both locally and nationally, have reported it, who the GM would like to be the head coach. And that guy has not been named the head coach yet. So you could assume or read the tea leaves that there's some disagreement somewhere in the front office with that. I'll just say that, listen, like I've said before, I don't know if any of these guys can coach, good or bad. I don't know. I don't think it's life or death if one of them's hired. I really don't. At the end of the day, if you have good players, they tend to make the coaches look better. But I will say that of the decision makers, there's really only one who has consequences in which their job hinges on the hiring of the coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the other people aren't going to fire themselves. If you hire somebody to make basketball decisions and their job is based on progress of the organization, wins, losses, whatever, you would think that you let them hire their own coach because that's whose sword they're going to fall on, right? Maybe Troy's choice does get hired, but certainly it hasn't happened yet. So I'm just saying it could, things could get weird, I guess, but maybe at the end of this week or start of next week, his guy is hired. I don't know.
Do you
want? I'm just saying, like, there's one, like, Troy's the one who's has a job that is on the line. You would assume that you would think he'd be able to hire his guy if he's putting his job on it a couple years down the line or whatever.
Do you want me to ask a soft follow-up, or do you want us to take a break and just go right into the next segment?
You can ask a soft follow-up.
Is it just a too many cooks in the kitchen potentially sort of situation here? Or no comment?
I don't know every single detail, but like I said, it's clear that I think it's been made known who Troy wants, and that guy is not hired, so I don't know.
We are going to take a quick word from a sponsor, and then we're going to talk our the Bun and Cardigan Big Board. James, what do you think?
Board me up.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, a week ago when the lottery happened, which, by the way, the fallout from that has been what, in your experience? How are Pistons fans that you're seeing? Probably still pretty sad, right? Well, I think we're all really just really sad.
Yeah, I think now it's transitioning to everybody's, not arguing, but rallying for their guy at five.
Yeah.
It's kind of moved on, which is good, which is healthy. It is what it is. Nothing you can do about it. It's unfortunate for the fan base, but it is what it is. I had a great lead in my big board today. I was very impressed.
Are you gonna
say? They say acceptance is the fifth stage of dealing with grief. Oh, the irony! I thought that was good. I thought I patted myself on the back with that one. But yeah, I mean, people seem to be over it.
So,
I'm sure that'll change depending on if their person gets picked or not.
to your point, though, I think that the most consistent thing I've seen people evolve in over the last week is, to my surprise, moving away from the idea of trading the pick. I think there are a lot of people who are confident with, like, hey, we could get this guy, we could get this guy. You're right. There are people who are like, no, this is going to work if we draft this dude. But the hive out there, this is for you. I am still team trade the pick. I'm still 100% there. I don't want us to be on the clock at five. I don't care where it is in the first round, just not at five. And then I'm also not entirely convinced that 31's not just going to turn into like 25 or like 17, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't give up. I don't know how much stuff they can give up to move up without a player, but I don't know. I think I wouldn't be surprised if 5 and 31 turn into something.
Do you do like a, I don't mean to get ahead of us here, but if you're in on like the Taylor Hendricks camp, right? There are definitely some Piston fans out there who are like, Taylor Hendricks, absolutely, yes. Do you do like 31 and Bagley? Does that gets you to 25. But that's six picks. That's not a lot. That's not that, you know what I mean?
I don't think Taylor Hendricks will not be there.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I meant to say 5 and Bagley. Does that get you? Because you can move back and get Taylor Hendricks beyond 5. I'm sure of it.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, it depends on who's there at 5 and how bad a certain team wants them. But I think, ideally, that would be a type of deal they're looking for. Get off money, still get their guy, for sure. Like, I think your head is in the right place.
So how do you?
I think let's start with the trade, and then we'll get into our big boards. All right. So, like I said at the top of the show, I proposed, I think it was 7 trades to my colleagues who cover teams around the NBA for the 5th pick in the draft. Are you ready?
Yes. This was a great article. I texted you when
you
I read it. Great
Thank
article.
You very much. All right. The first team, San Antonio Spurs. Pistons get Keldon Johnson, who is starting a 4-year, $74 million contract this year, and a 2024 first-round pick via Toronto. The Spurs get the number 5 pick in the draft. Do you want me to read to you my logic behind it, and then you go, or do you want me just to let you talk?
Go for it.
My logic here was simple. Johnson fills a void for the Pistons. Solid offensive wing. Can be effective without the ball. Defense needs to get better. But I think in a winning situation, it could be. Only 24. He has a contract that decreases in value every year, except the 4th year. It stays the same as the 3rd year. Obviously, like I said, fills a void. For the Spurs, you're rebuilding around Victor. Why not get Victor and another rookie on a contract? Like, could you maybe get Victor and Cam Whitmore? Do you like that going forward? Do you like Victor and Amen? It's possible. That's why I proposed it. Thoughts?
Yeah, it's almost kind of like what the Texans just did, right? Where they get the guy in the draft plus this other guy that people really like. You know what I mean? Yeah, to your point, what I was going to say was it's like Hamidou out, Keldon Johnson in. Am I supposed to say no to that? Because I'm not.
I don't think that's apples to apples.
It is in my brain.
Keldon
so
would be starting. And Hamidou's not starting. Like, it's not
that's,
like taking
you know,
Hamidou's
true.
Spot.
That's true. The other part of it is, like you said, he just got this new deal, so we don't have to. He's locked for what 4 years, so we're solid.
And it's only
there.
Like
and
18 million a year, like it's not bad.
The front-loaded thing is, that's just a Spurs thing, really, right? Doesn't Popovich always do that?
I'm not sure if it's a Spurs thing, but I do like when I see it.
Yeah, 100%. I really like that one. I think...
Keep track. Do you have a pen and paper? We'll have you rank them.
You want me to rank these? Okay, I'll write it. I'll open a notes app really quick. Because, like, what's the logic here? You are hoping that Keldon Johnson is better than whoever you would be getting at five. And, like, yeah, he's a little bit older, but that just means that he's a little bit more developed.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm on board with that.
I mean, obviously, like, you're paying more money than you would for whoever is the number five pick. But, I think he would make your team better for sure in the short term. And then the question is the long term. Like, do you think there's more for Keldon to unlock or not?
Yeah. All right. Next
New York Knicks. People were divisive on this one. Pistons receive RJ Barrett, Evan Fournier, and a 2024 first round pick. It can either be the Knicks or the one that the Knicks own of the Pistons. The Knicks receive Bojan, Wiseman, and the number five pick. The prize here is Barrett, who just had a really good postseason for the Knicks. Defensively, fits everything the Pistons are about and missing. Offensively, the shooting is up and down, but he impacts the game in other ways. I really like the idea of Barrett as a secondary or tertiary ball handler next to Cunningham and Ivy. I like it even more if the shooting stays up. I take on Fournier's deal in order to get Barrett, but I'd need future draft compensation as well. Our Knicks writer, Fred Katz, liked this trade idea.
It's weird, man, because I was just texting Matthew about this like a week ago. You know, when it works with RJ Barrett, boy, does it work. But when he's getting all those shots up and then, you know, you look at his last 10 games and he's shooting like concert tour dates. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what I love to see. And he has those stretches.
Wait, what does that mean?
Guys like
concert
that.
Tour dates. What does that mean? Oh, like 5 for 20. That's the funniest thing you've ever said on here. That's good.
10 for 31.
Yeah, that's funny.
Stuff like that. Like, it's just super high volume, and, you know, it's I don't know, man. But that's a guy who we've seen, like you said, he can play in the playoffs, and on a team like this, that's valuable. Is this, if this is the way that you maximize the Bogdanovich value, you know, are you really going to, I just think that makes sense. I think, and then this is just another question, is RJ Barrett better than anyone you could draft at five? Probably, honestly.
Maybe,
probably.
Possibly. Definitely in the short term. All right. Did you write down the Knicks?
Yeah.
Next up, Toronto Raptors. And I apologize if you already read this story, but I thought it'd be fun to hear Knicks' thoughts on it. If you hate Knicks' thoughts, then I apologize. Toronto Raptors.
Sorry about that.
Pistons receive Pascal Siakam. Raptors receive Alec Burks.
Yes.
Bojan Bogdanovic, James Wiseman, and the number five pick. Given Toronto's likeliness of restructuring its roster, Siakam's expiring deal, and the Pistons' increased likeliness of seeking some type of needle mover, the all-NBA selection is the best possible player I think Detroit could realistically get with the fifth pick. Of course, it comes attached with other stuff, like two really good role players in Burks and Bogdanovic and a project in Wiseman. This one's pretty straightforward. I was trying to get Detroit one of the best 25 players in the NBA. Siakam, to me, is the only one who could make some sense. The Pistons, though, would have to be confident it could sign Siakam long-term to make this move. He'll be an unrestricted free agent after this next summer. Our Raptors writer said that he doesn't hate it. He would think about it, but he would try to get Portland's number three first.
Ooh, that's a good point. Oh, wait,
I think they could do that within the OG and it, like with OG and Anobi.
Oh.
You can.
Really? You think?
Yeah, I mean, he's the type. I don't know, maybe.
I'd flip that. I think if I'm Minnesota, if I'm Toronto, I would flip that.
That's fair. So would you do all that stuff for OG?
Oof. I'm sorry. I apologize, guys. Will you read it one more time? I just need to hear it with OG's name in it.
Pistons receive OG Anunoby, Raptors, and I don't know if the money might be too much money.
Yeah. Don't think about that.
Alec Burks, Bojan, Wiseman, and the number five pick.
That's a lot.
We can take Burks out.
I do. Okay, let's do
Bojan,
it.
Bojan, Wiseman, and the number five pick.
Yeah, sealed and signed, 100%. I'd do that. I'd do it either way for Pascal or OG Anunoby, 100%.
All right. Next one, New Orleans Pelicans. I tried to get Trey Murphy. Will said hell no. So I settled for Pistons receive Herb Jones. number 14 pick in 2023, Garrett Temple and Larry Nance. Pelicans receive Bojan and the number 5 pick. Again, I'm searching here. I'm a big Jones fan at 24 years old. He might already be one of the best 10 perimeter defenders in the NBA. The Pistons need that, particularly on the wing. The three-point shooting could be better, but the defense and other stuff he does on offense outweighs that for me. I prefer to have Trey Murphy, but I wasn't even going to offend Will by I'm reading off my story, by the way. But I wasn't even going to offend Will trying to get him. New Orleans could use a shooter like Bogdanovich. It also could use the number 5 pick to get Cam Whitmore and try to juice up an iffy Zion-less offense. Temple and Nance are salary throw-ins, though the latter could contribute in the rotation.
No.
Will did not hate that offer.
It might be a good trade. It really, really might be. And I'm a, I'm so there with you on Herb Jones. Like, watching ball handlers be scared to dribble around him and just immediately pass out when he faces up, like, it's art. Okay, I love it. And having a guy like that in Detroit is like what it's all about. Like, that's what we love.
And you get the 14th pick.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Troy has had, people can say whatever they want about him, but Troy's hit rate in the mid-teens on guys, you have what, Jalen Duren? I guess he was like, what, 12? Jalen Duren's not mid-teens.
I've said it before.
12, Sadiq, Stu.
They've had 5 all-rookies. 3 of them have come pick 12 or later.
There you go.
That's the hard part.
So maybe there's something here. And if I use that logic, I'm like, yeah. But then I'm just like, could we get somebody who's better than Herb Jones at 5? I do think so. Not better defensively, but better probably.
Fair. But who you get at 5, could they be just as good at who you get at 14?
Ooh, there it is. Man, being a GM would be exhausting. Holy smokes. There are so many angles here.
That's what she said. All right. We're going to Portland. I tried to move up. Jason Quick yelled at me for wasting his time, but I tried to move up. Pistons receive the number 3 pick in Keon Johnson. Blazers receive Bojan, number 5, and number 31. I said, this isn't a trade proposal that I'm proud of, primarily because I figured it wouldn't be enough, but I tried to get Detroit into the top 3 in order to get Miller or Henderson. Portland has made it clear that it's interested in contending as long as Dame Lillard is on the roster, so I offered one of the best shooters in the NBA. The Blazers would only have to move back 2 spots and still get an elite shooter! Exclamation point. They could use a number 5 pick to add another veteran. That was my logic. Jason Quick hated it. Of course you love it.
If you threw... No, God, no. Well, I mean, yeah, because it's a fleece. Like, we're underpaying 100%. I love it. But in terms of, you know, being for real... If you threw in top 7 protected next year, does that move the needle?
I don't think they can because they have that lingering protected pick.
I feel like I do this all the time and I always forget about that stupid pick. You're right. Yeah, I mean, it's great because it's a, you know, we basically get it for free. But, you know, I'll put it last just out of respect for our Blazers listeners, of which there are probably thousands if we use James's
math. It's possible. Shout out to the Jail Blazers, all y'all. Last one, Houston Rockets. I'm interested to see what you think here. Okay. Pistons receive Jabari Smith. Rockets receive number 5 and James Wiseman. I quote myself. I probably tried to get too cute with this one, but I gave it a shot. All signs are pointing to the Rockets really going for it next season and making a big move or two. Smith, who I liked in last year's draft, didn't have a great rookie season. Maybe Houston would want to punt on him and use a number 4 and number 5 picks to go and try to get a big fish. Kelly did not like it and doesn't think that the Rockets would give up on Jabari so soon.
He tries to do the Andre Drummond point guard thing a lot. And I don't like it. I don't love it.
I just don't like the situation he was in, but I like Jabari.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's just, hey, if Troy likes to do anything, it's he likes putting guys in a different... You know, giving him a change of scenery. He loves doing that. So from that perspective, it's definitely feasible. But yeah, I don't know. He definitely wasn't as good as I thought he was going to be last year.
Would you rather have pick 5 or Jabari Smith?
Yeah, I'd rather have like some of the guys we're going to be talking about here in a minute.
Okay. All right. I think Jabari will be better than 90% of the names they could get at 5, but I understand.
I'm trying to figure out where I want to rank this
and
one.
And that's the end of it, so I need your rankings.
Yeah. Okay.
Who was that one? I'm sorry, what was that one? It was the Rockets. Rockets and Jabari Smith. Sorry, everybody. I know this is bad podcasting. Jabari Smith. Okay. Least favorite trade at 6, Blazers. We get 3 plus Keon Johnson. Love Keon Johnson. Go Vols. Rocky Top. Shout out to Hendon Hooker, who got his media day for, or like his rookie camp photos. He looked great. Number 5, gonna go with the Rockets. Jabari Smith trade that we just discussed. Number 4, Pels, Herb Jones. Like I said, it's just a weird pill to swallow. I don't know why the psychology of Herb Jones getting traded for the 5th pick. My brain is
Pistons
sparking.
Are also getting 14.
Yeah, you're right. I should have wrote also plus 14, and we did that whole thing. But it's at number 4, so it's okay. It's good, you know. Knicks at number 3, you get RJ Barrett and Evan Fournier.
And a first next year.
Yeah, because of the first, I'm going to keep it at 3. Number 2, second favorite is the Spurs, Keldon Johnson, plus a 2024 first. And number 1, Raptors, Pascal Siakam, and or, as discussed, OG Anunoby.
All right, let's take a break.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called 6 Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out 6 pop culture-themed trophies for 6 basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make 6 Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow 6 Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Okay, we are going to jump into some guys that we're big on in this draft class. Even if... What?
Say what you just said again.
I don't remember what I said. I was too busy. I was reading, and I was kind of
jump into some guys that we're big on. You just got to relax.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Sure. Even though I am still team trade the pick, James, I told you before the show, we talked this morning, like, hey, let's just do a big board or something. And I'm looking at all these dudes, writing down some notes. I'm not even giving this draft class the courtesy of a rounded out 5, a top 5 big board. I'm giving you 4. Because if it's not these 4 guys, I don't care.
I also hate, we talk about that in journalism circles a lot. Why do we always have to do like 5 or 10? Like, what's wrong with like 4 or 7 or 9? Why does it have to, like, is it just for people's brains?
It's just more, there's some psychology to it, 100%. Yeah. I love when people are like, here's 7 things you didn't know about this thing. I'm like, I love that you couldn't find 3 more.
But it bothers you because you thought about it.
I think it's funny. This is a great point. This is a great thing to call out by
you. Here's 13 prospects I like. It would drive people insane.
It's like, why did you keep going after 10? Why didn't you just do 2 more?
Or why'd you just round it out? Cut off the last 3? Yeah. Psychology to it.
Well, I only did 4 here. So how many do you got? Or do you want me to just read?
Well, I was going
to
read the big
them.
Board I have that I put in my story. Okay. Pistons. This is what I believe to be the Pistons, and it's non-Victor, non-Scoot. I put Brandon Miller in here because while I don't think he's there at five, I wouldn't be shocked if he is. So Miller's one, Jarace Walker's two, Cam Whitmore's three, Taylor Hendricks is four, Amen Thompson's five. I will do my five personally and then let you go. Like, this is James's okay, personal cool. five at this spot. Yeah. And I'll exclude Brandon Miller, all right? I'm going to go Taylor Hendricks, Cam Whitmore, Jarace Walker, Anthony Black, and
Asar Thompson. Asar Thompson.
And Amen Thompson. It's the passing for me. I'm a pass guy. Actually, flip Jarace and Cam. I'm going to go Hendricks, Jarace, Cam. Actually, no. Hendricks, Cam, Jarace, Anthony Black, Amen Thompson.
So, okay, we talked about the Hendricks thing. So you think it, like, you see the vision. And I would imagine that if that happens, then there's tea leaves. It's like the DeAndre Swift thing where it's like, oh, we just drafted Jameer Gibbs, so he's out of here. It would be kind of like one of those.
Because
there's
be
an odd
here?
Man out if you draft. That's what I'm asking. There has to be one, right? Bagley's on the most tradable contract.
I think Hendricks can be a three.
That's, dude, of course he can. I got to tell you, when I'm making this list, I'm like, bro, I don't know what positions these guys play.
It's good.
Like, they don't, yeah, I mean, the fluidity is amazing, 100%. And we talk religiously on the show about how positions aren't real. And I think I'm a little bit firmer on that take than you are, just because I'm like, I'm just like, they're not real anymore. But yeah, it is kind of nice, but it's also kind of annoying because then from like a traditional sense, I'm like, you look at a guy like Hendricks, I guess maybe he can play the three, but then doesn't it get kind of I don't know, but you're big on him, you like it.
I like him. Yeah, I think you have to really believe that he can develop the ball handling and playmaking to see the upside, but I think right away he could come in and be a 3-and-D guy. I think he has a role from the jump. It's just a matter of, do you believe in the ceiling, which I think hinge on ball handling and playmaking. So what's your five or four? Sorry, four.
My four. Yeah, I did not include Hendricks. Number one, we have Asar Thompson. Number two, we have Cam Whitmore. Number three, we have Jarace Walker or Jarace. We're still figuring that out. TBD. Yeah. And number four, Amen Thompson. And you know what I'll say? Here's another thing about this draft class, just on that same point. For as much, like, historically, this draft class is insanely athletic. It's insane. Off the charts with how much explosiveness there is, especially in like this top 10. For as many explosively athletic guys there are an equal amount of names that you have to double take and be like, there's, once I see vowels, I'm like, wait a minute. And I got to kind of, you know, luckily Victor Wembanyama has been in the zeitgeist for like 5 years now. So we've had some time to sort of marinate on that one, but I've kind of been thinking about it, and I think Jarace Walker might be my number one. I think I said that last week. So
why Asar Thompson.
See, I Googled how to pronounce his name, and it said
Asar Thompson. Yeah.
And then
what did I say?
But I was watching during the lottery when they interviewed the twins. She said Asar.
Oh yeah, it's Asar Thompson. Yes, it is Asar Thompson. Why? Jesus. Why him
okay.
at one?
I think he's really good for, like, alleviating pressure off of Cade and Ivy. And I think that he's also got the big wingspan. He's, like, 6'7", but his wingspan's, like, 6'9", 6'10". Super smart cutter, super smart passer, super hoppy defender as well. And from, like, a visual standpoint, sometimes I like my guys to be a little more concrete. And I don't mean, like, cinder blocks for shoes. I just mean, like, I just like when they're more, like, kind of solid, you know, and he's just very light on his feet, which is a good thing. Like, that is a good thing. It's just, you know, the optics of it are always a little weird to me. Utility guy, sneaky, amazing shot blocker as well, and potentially best lob threat in the draft. What do you think?
Yeah, it's potentially, yeah. Not named Victor.
Cool, yeah.
But yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, outside of the top three, sure.
I mean,
sure.
He might be after Victor, but yeah, Victor's number one. Yeah, it's fine. It's your list.
Yeah, but that's my spiel. List. Yeah, okay. Do you want me to give
I
you
really
my...
don't, like, I know Like, I know people like this draft. I don't love this. Like, I don't believe in very many of these guys, but I don't know.
You want to name anyone or?
No, just all of them.
You want to just.
Like, okay. I like them. I think they'll all be solid NBA players. I don't know.
You know, on the for the other Thompson twin, for Eamon, I wrote, I did also put a prediction for him.
What is your prediction for him?
2025 dunk contest winner. It's in his future, dude. That he's 100% getting one within the next like 5 years. 100%.
I could see that.
He's crazy.
Definitely won't be winning the three-point contest.
Bro, I wrote in my notes specifically, he's the reason he's at four is because he shoots like 20% from three.
And it's mechanically bad.
It's not. It's just not great. And that's the thing with Jairus Walker is off the catch, he's decent. He's like 34. Wide open, he's like 38.
I believe in his shooting.
And like,
I still think Isaiah Stewart will be a better three-point shooter, but I do believe in Jairus's. And I think Jairus has more ball-handling stuff than he really showed it. He's a great passer. Like, that showed. But like, I think Jairus could play the three at the NBA with his ball handling.
He's such a sneaky, flashy passer.
Yeah, he throws some
like, he does
very quick reactions. Behind the,
he does the little touch passes. Yeah. He'll like be down low and he'll kind of like volleyball it and like redirect it. And then he'll just like do some elbow passing, like hoopty off the like a wall bang YY ladder stall. Like, he does crazy stuff.
I don't know what that means,
but he's so good. I wrote potentially outside of the top three, best player in the draft. Like the Keegan Murray of this year. I love him.
Would you trade five for Keegan Murray?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Anybody, like, be so for real right now listening to this show, if you just groaned at that. Like, think about it. Yes. Yes. Didn't he just hit the most threes of any rookie in the history of modern basketball?
I think so. He had a rough playoffs until the end. But I believe in Keegan. I mean, he had a good regular season, huh?
Yeah.
Would I do it?
I would do it.
Yeah. But yeah. I also liked Keegan a lot last year.
Yeah, that's true. You weren't on the hate squad with everybody else. We were in lockstep together.
I mean, you had posters of him next to your bed. But I like he was,
man.
He was in my. He was number five or six for me.
Mark Bartelstein to this day is on my shit list for that, man. Couldn't seal the deal.
The Kings drafted him. What were they supposed to do? They picked
before
the Pistons.
I don't know,
make
a phone call. Leak some information. I don't know. Do something crazy. Got to get like, do they not watch Succession? Do they not know how this works?
Jaden made it very clear he didn't want to be in Sacramento, so they were kind of out of options.
Did you see the on Paul George's podcast, they just had Jalen Green on as a guest, and he thought he was getting drafted by Detroit?
Yeah, I told everybody that, and they told me to shut up. I don't know why. I've had two like, and I know people are gonna hate this pod because I've like tooted my own horn too many times on this pod.
Don't, dude, get your shit off. Award winning journalist over here.
I have two things that like I've been happy to throw back in someone's face. One was when I reported that the Pistons wanted Weaver in 2018, but OKC wouldn't let him go. Have I told this story on the pod?
Bro, I've never heard this.
Yes, you know. You know, it's about my beef.
Oh, my God. Evan. Yeah, go ahead.
But I don't know if I've – I shouldn't continue to say this.
So I was going to say I've brought this up in passing before.
I think I've always been vague about it.
Here's a little inside baseball. Shout out to James for teaching me that term. Here's some inside baseball about the pod. There have been I don't even want to say this, but anytime I've brought it up, you kind of dance away from
it.
Yeah,
I just realized that.
I don't.
To keep it vague, I reported that contacted me and said it's not true. You can figure out who you think that might have been just based on where he came from and all that stuff. The first thing Gora says at Troy's press conference is, we wanted Troy back in 2018, but OKC wouldn't let him go. So I tweeted that quote as soon as he said it with some smart-ass emoji probably. So that was great. And then number two, when I literally, like the day or two before the draft, I was like, there's a chance Jalen Green or Evan Mobley are number one to the Pistons. Everyone's like, shut up, you're stupid. You're just making shit up.
Yeah.
Troy post-draft press conference, and I quote, he was asked, when did you know your pick? And I quote, this morning, or this at lunch, that day of the draft. So I don't remember how we got here, but yeah.
Hey, I guess I can even cast myself.
Oh, well, you were talking about Jalen Green. Yes, Jalen Green. All three of those guys were almost could have been Pistons, if depending on how they woke up that morning.
And then when I got to interview Cade, I asked him, how did that feel? Did that suck to not be just the consensus?
What did he say to that? He said he understood he was it, like, right?
Because I was like, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I was like, we can move on or cut this. Like, if you don't want to answer it, don't answer it. But I asked him, like, how did it feel to hear Troy be like, we genuinely didn't know. And he was like, I'm a little prideful. So, yeah, I was kind of like, why are you even thinking about this so much? Right. Like, and then he was like, and then he did the, he's a professional, because he took the diplomatic route and was like, but, you know, he's got a job to do. He's got due diligence and all that. And I was like, yeah, okay, there it is. Yeah. There's the training. Yeah, good for you. But I was happy that he felt comfortable enough to be like, yeah, it did kind of piss me off actually a little bit.
Yeah, it should. Of course, it would piss anybody off. Like, I'm him. You want to think that shouldn't be in your mind. It's not a discussion, but I genuinely do think he understands that, like, Troy has a job to do. I think he respects Evan and Jalen enough to understand that.
Yeah, the Evan Mobley thing's weird.
Well, I don't know about Jalen, but definitely Evan. I'm joking. I think he respects Jalen. I don't know their relationship. It seemed like they were cool, and then it seems weird. I don't know their relationship.
Was it like AAU when he was at like Huntington Prep or something? Didn't they beef or something? I don't remember what that
was. You're talking about like the Team USA when he like dunked and then slapped Jalen. I think it's because they were boys, but I just don't know where it's at now, because remember when they played in the NBA and somebody asked Cade about the trash talk? He's like, that was all for the cameras.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know where they're at.
Wow. Yeah.
But I know he respects Jalen in his game for sure.
Hey, last thing on the draft here. I do have a player comp in here that I actually tried on. Okay. I wasn't just like, this guy's like Lawrence Taylor. Like, I'm not, he's 19. I'm not doing that. I got one for Cam Whitmore.
Who?
If Corey Maggette and Miles Bridges had a baby, it's Cam Whitmore.
I don't hate that.
About it. Yes.
Yeah, I don't hate it. Yes. I feel like you stole that from somewhere, but I don't hate it.
I don't consume independent media. Everything that I steal is from my own brain.
That's a good one.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a
little Jason Richardson. Why are we taking another break? We already took two.
We took one.
No, we took two. You set one up, and then after we did the trades.
This is like, we're in like no man's land right now. We can do whatever we want. This is like the end of the pod.
Yeah, let's close it out. Do you have an album?
Yeah. I think I've picked Random Access Memories like 100 times on this show, but I learned within the last week that James Larry Edwards III of The Athletic has never listened to Random Access Memories by Daft Punk. Which is weird, only weird to me, because like, that's your vibe. I don't remember what you said though that made sense as to why you don't.
It's
listen.
Too electronic. I like house music.
That's what. Yeah. 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 But it's so good.
I'm sure it's good. I just never it never interested me. I'll give it a listen.
They came out with the 10-year anniversary edition like recently, and I like went back and played like front to back, plus like the new kind of demos and stuff that they added onto it, and like just the bass album. Was like I was in summer school when that came out, dude. The vibes were crazy. Actually, no. What year did Yeezus come out? I was in summer school for that, not for Random Access Memories. Anyways, that's my album this week.
Mine is Esty Nack, Estee space Nack. Esty Nack. Nack saw Jim Duggan. West Side Gun executive produced. It's fire. Shout out to SD Nack, shout out to Nacksaw Jim Duggan. Check that out. Just came out last Thursday.
How's your off season? You've been cooking up, chefing up some beats lately. Having a good off season?
Yeah, it's been cool. I'm ready for the coaching search to be done so I can take some proper time off. I've been writing every other day. Can we end the pod with a new beat though? It's been a while. Can I send you a new beat to end it with?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Because I love the outro,
I do too,
dude.
But it's been a while. You just say it's more work. Just say that.
Honestly, one of my favorite things about the fact that we found an outro that you made that's so perfect is that now all I ever have to do is just that and not minimize it and then, you know, splice the audio in such a way. It's only 5 minutes, but yes, it does make my life a lot easier to not have to do that.
Let's do Montreal Peppers. Come on.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Hold on. Let me listen to it just to make sure it's the one I'm thinking about. Hold on.
Well, you can't play it on the pod and then people are going to hear it.
I'm just going to play it for a quick second.
I'm just going to pick a random beat. How about I do that?
No, because not everything. Yeah, Montreal Peppers. I'm resending it to you.
What was the story? What were we doing when you made that? I feel like there was something funny going on. Never mind. We were talking about Sir Siren. I don't want
to. Oh, yeah, yeah. Shout out to Sir Siren. Album coming soon.
Sir Siren. There's a project coming out soon, available exclusively on Tidal from what I'm hearing.
You're Sir Siren.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate 5 stars, leave a review, subscribe if you're feeling generous. If you're listening to this on Spotify, you can also leave 5 stars.
Enjoy Montreal Peppers.
Nope. I was leaving a pause. It was gonna sound so funny. We will catch you guys in the next one.
Montreal Peppers. New beat alert. Peace.